You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffiths.
Well, 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 hello there, friend. Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode, wherever you are in the world. I'm still in New York, where it is a light billion degrees outside, which is convenient because we have a hot podcast for you. Am I right, guys? I apologize, I'll never make that joke again. Before we get started, as always, if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and follow the podcast wherever you are listening to this episode, and jump in on all the action happening across our socials, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, at theplug.podcast. Last week, I was joined by UK singer-songwriter Birdie. This week, we're staying in the UK because I am joined by Staining's own Maisie Peters. On the back of her number one album, The Good Witch, released last month, which saw Maisie become the youngest solo British artist to hit number one on the UK charts since 2014, by the way, Maisie joined me to talk about the crazy last few weeks and 12 months, which has included a UK tour and opening slots on Ed Sheeran's Stadium Tour. Starting in early August, Maisie will then embark on a massive US run, which includes venues like Radio City Music Hall here in New York, followed by more shows in the UK, Europe, and Australia. For details on venues and tickets, head to maisiepeters.co.uk. Also on this episode, we speak about women in pop music, working with Ed Sheeran, stadium shows, and more ideas for our next project. Check out my chat with Maisie Peters on The Plug Podcast right now. All right, welcoming to The Plug Podcast, Maisie Peters. Maisie, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's really good to meet you. It's good to see you. I understand you are in a dressing room somewhere. Would you say Kingston? Sorry.
I am. I'm in Kingston, near London, in the dressing room. It's the lighting as ever, lighting and dressing rooms. They're not friends. So yeah, I'm sorry for the strobe lighting, sort of prison effect you're getting. It's not my doing.
How has the last month been? I was like, before the interview, I was kind of like trying to gauge the last 12 months. And to be honest, I gave up. Tell me if this is correct. You toured in 2022. You were touring with Ed Sheeran throughout. You just wrapped up a big UK tour, and now you're about to go throughout the US. Is that right?
That is true, yes.
Okay, good. How has the last 12 months been then? It seems like a pretty quiet time.
Yeah, chill. Quite peaceful and quiet. No, it's been amazing. I mean, it's hard to even like think about it as a time stamp. It sort of feels like it's been forever and no time at all. But the album coming out was so fun, and it's so cool now it's out. I'm so pleased that it is, and that it can just exist in the world, and people can find it and take it with them. And I just, that's like the best part of my year for me. And these tours that I've been on and the shows I've played have been amazing. And we've done such a variety, you know. We played with Ed in Australia, and we played acoustic shows in Brighton, and we've played festivals in Europe, and we played Glastonbury, and we played Hammersmith Apollo. We've done so many cool shows this year.
More often than not, when I have an artist on with a new album, it's probably like in the lead up to the album coming out. It's always nice chatting to them once the album's been out. Like, it has been about a month. As you said, it's finally out in the world. How has the reaction been on your end? We'll get to all the fun accolades it's had in the last 4 weeks, but on your end, at least, now that it's finally out there, how does it feel for it to be out there?
It's so nice. It's just like very calming, and it feels like a very, very peaceful feeling. And it's very, it feels very right that it is out there. You know, I made it for it to exist with my fans and with the people that listen to my music. And so to have it just exist sort of like quietly and confidently on online, and have it be something that people can discover. And that's sort of my most recent, you know, statement of intent. If you find me as an artist or a musician, that's my most recent sort of like musical manifesto, and that's cool to me because that is what feels most me and reflects who I am as of right now or as of a year ago. So I'm just so pleased that it's out and that people can do that.
Yeah, I mean, the debut album you signed up for this came out in 2021. That response was pretty incredible for a debut album. This album, again, has been out for all of 4 weeks. Again, belated congratulations, because it has been out for a few weeks now.
I know, it's crazy.
It hits number one in the UK, and I want to get this right. It is the the youngest solo British female artist to hit number one since 2014. I can't imagine when you're writing album number two, that's like the goal. Hit number one and break a 10-year-old record.
No, I know. I had no idea. It's very cool. And no, that wasn't the goal at all. I sort of started writing, and when I was making this album, I was pretty much entirely just thinking about how I felt about it and then how my fans would feel about it. I was so concerned with both those two things, and I was pretty unconcerned with everything else. I just so badly wanted, and I loved my first album, and I know that it was really important to my fans as well. It's like an important record for all of us. And so I knew it had big shoes to fill, this next album. And I was really aware of that when I was making it. And I was just really conscious of making something that felt just as important and just as of value and just as necessary to everybody. Because I think that my first album really did. It took me around the world, and it also brought me into so many people's lives. And I know that is a lot of people's, you know, like, baby, you signed up for this. So I didn't want to, I wanted to make her an older sister that was worthy.
Did you get like the, what's the term? Is it the second album creeps? When you've had success with the first album and you freak out that, how am I going to follow this up and please not only myself, but the fans?
I didn't, you know, I think that like I started making this album so quickly after the first came out. It was like a few months later, really, was when I started. And I also just experienced a lot. The album reflects the last year of my life. And I was really just sort of documenting what I was feeling as I was feeling it. And so I had a lot to talk about and a lot to document. And I just sort of was, I worked quite methodically. I was sort of like, I would have some days off and I would go to the studio and I would write those songs. And yeah, it sort of came together relatively naturally and sort of, yeah, without much forcing. And I wrote a lot of songs still. There's probably like 30, 50 songs that didn't make the album. But I mean, the argument, there's a whole different album I could have made with all those songs. But the sort of the way it ended up and coming together felt very natural.
Yeah. And a lot of artists I've spoken to, particularly on this show, when they are kind of promoting or talking about their second album, they look back on the first album kind of as like a, not like with a, like a distaste or anything, but it was kind of like a, that album was to kind of get me on the map, you know, get mainstream attention. But this second album is the representation of the artist I am now. Do you have the same kind of sentiment?
Yes and no. This album is a better reflection of me now.
Mm.
But the first album was an excellent reflection of me at 20. And it's still me, you know, it's a different version of me, but it's still me. And I think a lot of the songs on that first album are some of my best, and I think I'll play them forever. And there's a naivety to that first album and a drama that I still really love and I still really see myself in very deeply. So I'm also just never one to sort of demean old music. I think that like, it's all relevant and it's all part of the story and the journey, and it's all something that I was proud of once. And I'm to demean that would be like to demean the person I was. And I would never want to do that because she was important to people. And that music is important to people. And I would never want to take that away from people. So sort of yes and sort of no to your question.
Yeah. I mean, I think I suppose it's kind of like a, because however many years between albums for whatever artist it may be, you can kind of look back and go, because of what I know now or the skills I've honed since then, I could have done the debut album so much better. But again, that always comes from the artists who have had incredible debut albums. It's almost like this unneeded pressure on your shoulders.
Yes, it is. And you do feel pressure. I felt a lot of just internal pressure from myself. Mm. But I also think that's like an honor in itself to have made something that people love so much that you feel that pressure. So I don't know, swings and roundabouts.
Speaking of the album coming out, 2 days later, you play the Pyramid stage at Glastonbury. Walk me through that experience. How was that? Not only the day, but how was the event like? Because I know I saw some photos and stuff. You met Dave Grohl. That in itself
I did. Well, I actually played Glastonbury the day the album came out.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
There was no time between it. And it was amazing. I grew up in the UK, obviously, so Glastonbury is a huge deal and it's a part of like culture. And so to finally get to play and to play on the Pyramid stage is such an honor. And then it was just so much fun. And it was the nicest way to sort of spend that day and celebrate the album being out. You know, there was no time to sort of overthink or worry. It was just like, you know, arrive at Glastonbury and wear a little kilt and go strut around the stage. And it was so fun. And then Dave Grohl, icon, legend. Honestly, felt a bit like a Glastonbury parody. It felt like a bingo card, like there's Dave Grohl. but he's the nicest man. He's so cool. And yeah, he was so sweet. we met so many cool people that day, and it was just like a really cool weekend. We spent the whole time weekend there, me and myself and my band, and it was so fun to just like have this weird little weekend, like dreamscape mini break in the middle of the crazy album campaign to just like be at Glastonbury. That was fun.
Have you played Glastonbury before?
No, I've never.
Okay, but have you gone as a fan?
No, I've never been.
Oh, wow. So it was like literally your debut in every sense of the word.
Yes.
That's so cool. And you find out like with the number one, that's the following week, right? So you were still kind of getting the album out and doing press and getting to play. And then the following week, who makes that phone call to you?
I actually got told in person. We were in Sweden playing Lollapalooza. And that morning, my manager and my band and everybody in my crew knocked on my hotel room door and they surprised me. And they had the little number one thing and they That's were like, cool. Congratulations. It was very sweet.
Does it feel like the last 12 months in particular has kind of been a crazy whirlwind? Like I mentioned at the start, everything you've done in the last 12 months, this US tour, obviously you're playing some incredible venues. You're playing Radio City here in New York City. You're playing Australia, obviously my homeland, early next year. You played shows there early this year. And looking at those venues, I can already see the ones you're playing in 2024 are more than double the size you played just a few months ago. That seems so crazy to me as far as the quick progression of what 12 months can do.
I know. I can't wait to come back to Australia. We loved our tour there and I loved my shows there, Melbourne and Sydney. I loved the Metro in Sydney, especially.
Yeah.
It was such a fun show. But yeah, I know. And it's crazy. And I'm so grateful and it's so fun to get to do this as a job. I have a song on my album called The Band and I, which is literally just me being like, life is so fun. Mm. And it is tiring. And it is, you know, there are days where you just kind of want to go home and see your parents and sleep in your bed. And you're, you know, you maybe don't want to get on another plane. But I wouldn't trade it. And it's been such a magical year for that, for getting to go to all these places and see all these people. And yeah, the reality of the fact that I get to go to these places because of my music is so wild.
How many days or weeks do you think you've actually been in your home chilling out since that 2022 tour?
Not many. Yeah, not many. Wow. Not many.
Well, can we talk about as well the you signed up for this Ed Sheeran, you signed with his label, right? Mm-hmm. Walk me through that journey of not only meeting Ed and him wanting you to sign with his label, but as we've noted, you've performed these stadium shows with him over the last year, which also, again, took you to Australia as well. How did that relationship come about from the very beginning?
So we have mutual friends and just collaborators, producers and writers. And they showed my music to Ed and Ed was into it and asked if I wanted to come to Suffolk and do some writing with him, which, of course, I did. So I went, and that was early 2020. So I went and we wrote some songs together and we just really got on as people and as musicians. And he asked if I wanted to sort of join or work with him in a more sort of official way. And I was already signed to Atlantic and Gingerbread is under Atlantic. So it was a very easy hop, skip and a jump across. And we also wrote the songs that we wrote that those few days, we ended up putting on my first album, a song called Boy and a song called Hollow, as well as some other songs that didn't make it. But we just really liked each other. And I think we have a lot of common traits, I'd like to think. I mean, obviously I'd like to think that. But we have a lot of common traits and we're similarly minded, I think. And I'm hugely inspired by him and his work ethic and his graciousness towards people. And so he signed me and we put out that first album on Gingerbread. And then he invited me on the UK and Europe leg of the Mathematics tour. So I opened for those. Last year, I opened for about 6 months, I think it was. It was April to September, which was a dream. And it was, it was a crazy time. It was so fun. It was like having a weird day job where like 4 days a week you'd go and do a stadium tour, but then you'd come home and do your washing. and we went around the UK, we went around Europe, which was so fun. I love those European shows. And I did that for 6 months. And then he asked if we wanted to come on the Australia, New Zealand leg, of which of course we did want to go. So we went. And now we're playing a couple of shows in North America with him soon for this tour. It's about to kick off. Which I'm very excited for because I love Ed and I love that tour. And it feels like family. Whenever you jump back on it, it feels like, oh, we're back.
Mm.
And, you know, we know everyone there and it's going to be fun.
Was the idea, like, when you get the call that you're going to be opening at stadiums, is that something that's daunting to you or is it pure excitement?
No, I think it's both. It's definitely daunting. I've never opened for a stadium show before, so how does one know what to do? You don't. You just have to sort of guess it. But yeah, no, it's definitely daunting, but it was also really fun and a great experience and one of a kind. Not many people have done that.
Yeah, well, that's a similar answer. I had Gracie Abrams on the show recently, and she said the same thing. Like when Taylor Swift asked her to come open for the Eras Tour, she was like, "I didn't actually believe it. I thought it was a joke." How do you prepare, especially when like you're a burgeoning up and coming songwriter, and the shows are definitely getting bigger? But I feel like going from theaters to stadiums in one hit, that could be a surreal experience.
Yeah, and I wasn't even playing theatres. We were doing, and in Australia, for example, we were doing our own shows, and we were playing to like 800 people, and then we played to 80,000 people. There was no in between.
Wow. Well, when you go back to Australia next year, I think the Sydney venue at least you're playing in is a couple of thousand.
I think so. So I'm excited.
It's really exciting, and I know you're a huge fan of pop music yourself. You get compared to a lot of artists in that Gen Z bracket, like, you know, Gracie or Olivia Rodrigo. I think what sets songwriters like yourself apart is that the songwriting itself is incredible. So I'm 30. When I listen to these younger artists, yeah, like you can have fun, you know, bubblegum pop music that's just fun to sing and dance to. Artists like yourself, I find the songwriting is so incredible. And it really like is reminiscent of like what the attention Taylor Swift was getting like 10 years ago. Remember like when Red came out in 2012, people were like, "Oh, this is a songwriter. It's not just a pop artist." Do you feel that attention coming your way?
Yes and no. I think that it's hard to sort of zoom out and see that. And I've been making music professionally for 7, 8 years now. And you know, there's always sometimes you're in the spotlight and sometimes you're not. And sometimes it feels like everyone's listening, and sometimes it feels like they're all listening to somebody else. And that's just the way it is and the way the game goes. And it's important to just sort of stay true to what you're doing and focus on that in those times. I do feel somewhat taken somewhat more seriously in the last few months for sure, I think, with this album. But I do still think, especially with like a lot of the people you just talked about, a lot of my peers, sort of the female singer-songwriters of Gracie and Olivia, and a lot of those people have done so much for women in music, and also Haim and Taylor and Carly Rae Jepsen, so many people. But I do think there's still a long way to go in terms of the credit that a lot of people are due.
I live in a really cool time. I think COVID probably brought that nostalgia out of people, where right now we have this incredibly exciting genre of pop that yourself is very much involved in. But then we have bands like, I know who you're a fan of as well, like Fall Out Boy and My Chemical Romance. Like they're back 2023. Like they're
I
arguably
know.
bigger now than they were back in the
Best
day.
news ever.
We're living in a great time right now.
We are.
I know this is a wholly unfair question, but because you were writing The Good Witch during the debut album tour, have you got something? Are you already thinking about or potentially writing a third album? Are we even thinking about it? The look on your face says, "Leave me alone." Where are we at with that?
I mean, I'm always thinking about it. It's, you know, I have several pots on the go at all times. I'm trying not to deeply think about it because I don't, I'm, you know, from You Signed Up For This to The Good Witch, there was just no time in between. I essentially went from touring this You Signed Up For This to touring The Good Witch. And I think it was about 1 week's
Oh,
gap,
no.
which was amazing and like the coolest experience. But I don't think going forward, I would do that again. I think it's also good, you know, I'm glad I did it and it made for a really interesting album and album that I'm so proud of. But at least with the next one, I do want to have a little bit more time just to sort of just to yeah, just because also I've never done that. I've never made an album really with no time pressure. So I would be interested in what that would on what I would make, if I would even be good at that, because I also think I kind of excel in it. I excel with a deadline. So maybe I'll go back to wanting a deadline.
Was there any particular reason that you found yourself riding on the road, or did it just come to you? Or like, did you kind of challenge yourself that let's see if I can do something while I'm out here touring and playing?
Sort of circumstantial. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a specific plan, but we sort of knew I did know actually for this first and second record. I knew I wanted my second record to come out less than 2 years later. I just sort of something about I think at the beginning it's good to establish yourself, and it's good to, especially if you're on a if you're sort of catching a wind, it's good to keep the momentum.
Sure.
And I think that's true. So I think with this album, I was like, I must do it right now, but it was just sort of also natural. I was still writing a lot. I felt like that debut album, I was so proud of, but I sort of, when you're young, you grow so quickly. And, you know, like how I felt from 19 to 23 is I feel like a wholly different person. And musically, I sort of wanted to reflect that. I wanted to be singing songs about things I was feeling as a 23-year-old, not as a 19-year-old.
No.
It wasn't super contrived. It was sort of just organic the way that process was so fast.
So I guess for this US tour will take you through to, I want to say, the end of the year, right? And then Australia. And I think you've got some other shows. Is that it as far as the Good Witch tour and promo? Is that officially done then?
Never. I don't, you know, I'm only thinking this year so far. And so for me, we've obviously got this North American tour. We've got these UK shows. Yep. There's some European shows next year. And I'm hopeful that we'll get to come back to a lot of places as well. And I don't know what the next year, the year after this or the year after that will look like, but I'm hopeful that this album can have a long lifespan, and that I'd love to, you know, be able to play this album in 2 years' time. What's so interesting, you know, playing You Stand Up For This now, sort of 2 years later, you have a different connection to the songs, and performing it, it's so easy. And it's sort of, I'm excited to get to that point with these songs on The Good Witch.
Yeah, you said before, like, it's you being 19 and 23 are two very different people. Do you feel that way when you're playing the songs? Like, when you're performing, you're like, what the hell was I thinking when I wrote this? Or is it more of like a joyous, like a, it's you're looking back, it's a reflection?
It's a little bit of both. You're like smiling wryly at your past self, thinking you were crazy. Or... you were doing whatever you were doing, but also it's nice. It's sort of like seeing an old friend singing those songs. It's sort of like reconnecting with a version of yourself that you don't get to talk to very often. And I'll definitely find that for this album, because these songs were so poignant to me when I was making them, and they are so reflective of who I was and where I was. And yeah, so it's going to be fun to sing them for the next few years.
Do you have a time frame of when you want to take a break, whether that be just like a week holiday somewhere? Do you get some time off in the next 12 months is what I'm trying to ask.
I think in November, December, January, I've got some holidays planned. Some people are knocking on my door. They're saying maybe it's time to go on holiday. So I'm going to take some holiday then, and I'm going to do some thinking of what I want to do next. And I'll come back with some plans and some blueprints and some strategies. But I'm definitely am excited. I'm really excited for the next few months and to power on through, but I'm also beginning to see, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel for maybe just a little bit of time to reflect. I haven't done a lot of reflecting. I've just done a lot of doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sucked for me because I was in New York when you toured with Ed Sheeran in Australia. And I was in Australia when you were here with Ed Sheeran. So I'm absolutely seeing you at Radio City Music Hall, and I cannot wait.
Amazing.
Good luck with this tour. Again, congrats on the album, and I can't wait to see you on stage.
Neil, thank you so much. I'll see you in New York.
Thanks, Maisie.
To watch full episodes of The Plug Podcast, head over to the official YouTube page at theplug.podcast and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date with all of the video content. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at theplug.podcast for all episode announces, teasers, and giveaways. We'll be right back.